The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune into Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism. Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. It's the 18th of February 2026, and it's that time of the morning that we discuss affairs of governance, politics, trade, and everything that has to do with our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station in Namibia, that is Eagle FM. And, you know, it's quite very important. It's quite very important every morning. When you are waking up, you must have a plan. You must have a game plan to say, today, this is my game plan. These are two things which I'm going to do. And also, make sure that you understand that there is no luxury of time. There is no luxury of time. You don't know how long you are going to be healthy, strong, energetic. Because the energy that you are using on negative things, you could have channeled that energy to productivity, because even today, in this morning, somebody decided to choose progress over gossiping, and the other one also decided to choose negativity over progress. And there are always two kinds of people that are waking up with the same energy, maybe at the same time, but the other one decided to think the other way, and the other one decided to look at progress, but ahead, look at the game, look at life, and also look at what you can do for your country, and also how you can cooperate, because, you know, you find individual who cannot wait to see other people failing, but also end up forgetting or neglecting their own lives too. But, you know, let us look at a short commercial break, then we continue with the conversation for today.
Fall in love with the best prices at WB. Get 500 gram Bokomo cornflakes for $31.99. 2 kg nice rice for only $34.99. 1.5 kg real good mixed chicken portions for $79.99. And 10 kg Bokomo fat cook flour for just $137.99. See more February specials at voermanbrock.com. We care.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. That's why we are saying today, choose progress over, you know, negativity. Choose, you know, planning, implementation over just talking. And also, channel your energy where it's necessary, because you find, when you look around, it's not only on social media, but in real life, you find people are saying no. I'm saying this to my enemy, and you're asking yourself, who is the real enemy? Are we not the enemy of ourselves? Because if your enemy also is saying they are enemies against who? Why are we fighting each other if we're supposed to fight about real things? When are we going to be united? Because we are focusing more on petty things, and you really find people involving in the battle of gossiping. But we realize that we have a lot of things to do in the country. We have an economic to fix. We have people to take care of. We have life ahead of us. And we also have programs that have been established. Some have been established for 20 to 30 years, but some are still not yet implemented. We have a lot of things to do. But why are we focused on few petty, unproductive things? Why are you concerning about what people are saying about you? That is life. And they are saying life is a war. I'm saying adulthood is pain, pain, pain everywhere. And it's through that pain that you are growing. And you also, you know, hold the system and institutions too. But, you know, before we go to the conversation for today, let us look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. What is happening in the continent of Africa. And also look at home in Namibia. What are some of the happenings, particularly in the country? But look at the continent of Africa. Maybe we should start with Nigeria. It was stated that the government of Nigeria has warned its citizens against illegal recruitment in the fight of or in the war between Russia and Ukraine. There's been a lot of incidents and reports that young people in Nigeria, they find themselves in the war zone. And some of these reports, they only come out particularly when a person is shot or a person is dead. And in many cases, you realize to say the underground recruitment happening, and you find your citizens fighting in a war zone, in a battleground in Ukraine. And some of African young people, they lost their life. Speak about Kenya. Speak about Uganda. Speak about Nigeria. So speak about South Africa. You know, one of the reasons it was a fight in the MK, it was because of Jacob Zuma's daughter, who was accused of recruiting some of the young people to fight in the war in Ukraine. And it's also one of the reasons that Dudu Zile Zuma is not in parliament, and she was forced to step down from her parliamentary role, and due to that aspect. And that is also drawing back to say what attract people to go to the battleground. Is it because they are desperate, or is it because of opportunities? And looking at that context, what are the governments doing about preventing such situation? Who knows? Maybe we also have Namibians who are there. Who knows? Because you just find people saying, no, we are going abroad. And there's a tendency of saying being abroad is a sign of wealthy, or being abroad is a sign of making it in life. But some people, they find themselves signing a military agreement. Just trying to say, my brother, sign here. And that's a military agreement. If you're fighting for 2 years, if you survive, maybe you'll come back at home. But the government of Nigeria has issued a warning, especially to its citizens, particularly those who find themselves desperate to get the jobs outside the country, and also those who are recruited illegally to fight in Russia or to fight for Russia against Ukraine or in that war. And you realize that that war is not only a war between Russia and Ukraine. It's also a war which is being fought now by different countries, either through support financially, through equipment support. And also you find also individuals, either mercenaries or those who fight for money, find themselves in that business of war. That's why there are a lot of groups. It's not only Russia. You have the Wagner group, which is still there. You also have mercenaries from around the world who find themselves making money out of war. Deploy people there after 2 years of a contract, and they get their money and they go home. That's why currently war is a very expensive business. It's a very expensive business. And who is benefiting more? The supplier of guns and ammunition is making more money in the company. And if you trace back and you do your own investigation and research, you realize to say, in most cases, the country can speak about you want to stop war, but you understand that the actors in that war, they are using weapons manufactured almost by the same country who are saying, no, let's not do war. Let us not fight. But you realize to say, at some point, it's business on the other side and it's blood on the other side. You realize so how complicated the world is. And if you trace the weapons being used in those conflict zones, where are they made of? And you also ask yourself the question when you come to Africa to say, the weapons being used by jihadists, where are they coming from? And some of these guys, they have now drones. And you are just shocked to see, are these drones made from Africa? And if you have to trace them back, also be able to understand that, you know, it's more complicated than what you see. And you realize that some countries which are saying we are for peace, they are actually doing business behind closed doors. And you find situation more complicated than what you hear and what you read.
Yeah. Again, looking at Nigeria, it was stated that some 100 U.S. troops have been arriving or have arrived in Nigeria to help train soldiers and fight against Islamic militants and other armed groups. We say, apart from deployment of a small tactical team in the area February this year to support the training and also support assisting the Nigerian military in fighting against jihadists and other military and other armed terrorists. It was stated that U.S. troops there's an additional 100 of troops in Nigeria, especially in the fight against you know, jihadists. And the deployment follow an easing of tension after U.S. President Trump accusing Abuja of allowing genocide against Christians. And remember that at the beginning, there was a bit of commotion, or there was a bit of disagreement between Nigeria and the U.S. And at one point, Donald Trump was saying, no, you guys are allowing the killing of Christians or the genocide of Christians. But they come to the point that this country are not working together to fight against jihadist militia. The question that you should ask yourself is also this, to say, if there is continued deployment, if there is continued deployment, because remember, there was also another 200 troops deployments. Now there is 100 again deployments of US. For how long are they going to be there? And is this thing of jihadist, is this you know, fight against terrorism going to end, or is just going to turn into another Afghanistan, or is going to turn into another you know, situation or case that we have seen? Because if you look carefully, especially the U.S. Deployment for 20 years, almost 20 years in Afghanistan, and their exit plan was not so good, and things that they fought for, realized to say, they collapsed within 1 week. But maybe in the case of Nigeria, it's also to say, what African Union doing, what African countries doing about assisting each other? About assisting each other in fighting terrorists. Was it not right for maybe Ghana, for maybe Namibia, for maybe South Africa, or for maybe Burkina Faso to work together with Nigeria in fighting, you know, jihadists? And the question that you're asking yourself is that, what is that Nigeria paying the U.S. to? Because one thing that you should be very clear about, and we should also understand, and it's a basic rule of life to say, there is nothing for free. You need to work for something. And if somebody is assisting you, and the next time want to do a business deal with you, understand that you have to accept, or you must be able to understand that there is always something that you are paying. Because throughout history, you understand that U.S. government is one of the government which love its people, and losing one U.S. soldier, and they always have a slogan of not leaving each other behind, and they respect. If they deploy 100 soldiers to you, it means that you are valuable, and it also means that you mean business to them, because losing lives protecting a foreign nation, particularly at the point where President Donald Trump is the head of state, you understand that it means business. There's actually nothing for free. Because if you speak about America first, and America in Nigeria is also looking at itself too. It's not only about the fight, but it's also about geopolitical interest, and also could be
economic reason, which is actually need to be understood to say it's quite clear when somebody come openly and saying, I'm going to assist you and this is how much you are paying me, instead of just saying, oh no, we are getting aid, we are getting assistance. Ask countries who sign health agreements. Ask Uganda, ask Rwanda, ask DRC, who signed a health agreement, who got millions of dollars to support the health system. What was attached into that? It was not even a sting attached. It was an open discussion to say, you only sign this deal when you have access to your mining deals and also access to critical minerals. So that is what is happening. But looking at deployment of soldiers, we'll also be looking at South Africa, particularly when it also decided to deploy its soldiers in the street, especially when it comes to fighting of crimes. But let us look at a short commercial break, then we continue with the conversation. And remember, today, the Village newspaper is out, and make sure that you get content and also context of what is in the Village newspaper for today. And you'll be able not only be a good citizen, but be somebody who have access to information, data, and also be able to advance economically.
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And when we speak about economics, we also speak about security. And security is a very important aspect of the economy, because if you cannot protect what you produce, that is a commodity already, or a commodity to be lost. And if you are not able... If you are not able to protect what you produce, then it's going to be difficult for you to maintain it. And it was stated that South Africa has deployed military, has deployed troops to crime hotspots within 10 days. And it looks like the government of Cyril Ramaphosa is also using alternative, form to make sure that they assist the police, because police in South Africa, they are overwhelmed, and the death toll of police per week, it's quite difficult to understand the statistics, especially the losing of lives of police officers, especially those who find themselves at the front line, because things are so complicated, system are so complicated, and you find it that even when you listen to an ongoing, ongoing investigation regarding the corruption within the system, the judicial system, the crime intelligence, you realize to say alternative of deployment of army was one of the move that was indicated, and it was stated that the move marked the latest in series of tough measures by government to contain crime in the country, with one of the world highest murder cases and the average of about 60 killings a day. Remember that 60 people die in South Africa every day. Use your calculator and calculate how many people die in South Africa. Just Not natural death, not because they are sick, because they have been killed. And if you have to calculate the basic of having 31 days, and you have to multiply that with 60, remember that within a month, murder cases, people who have been killed in South Africa, it's 1,860. That's just an average, but you also find situation of other activities, such as cases that not only murder, maybe homicide, or maybe cases that are related to other crimes too, but it's something that need to be looked at. And it was stated that army and police chief have finalized the deployment plan, which will begin in the next 10 days. That is from acting police minister, that is Minister Kacharia, and he indicated that when he told the parliament. The question also that I should ask is to say, where is the current minister of police in South Africa, Sizwe Mthunu? What happened after, interrogation? What happened after, investigation by the Parliamentary Ad Hoc Committee? Is he still the minister? Is he still on full payment? Is currently South Africa have two ministers of police? And you are just wondering what is happening. But that is what have happened. To say 60 people, 60 murder cases per day, or 60 killings a day in South Africa. And the police decided to say, we need assistance of the army. It's maybe another form of deployment that, try to uproot
criminals. But, you know, it's quite difficult to integrate soldiers within the police system because soldiers are trained to shoot, and they need some integration before they go to the community. Because you understand very well, particularly during COVID-19, where cases of, you know, there was an operation which was called the Karahari operation. So almost 10 the other way, particularly the relationship between men and women in the uniform, and also civilians, because gave somebody an AK-47. This person was not trained to. This person, I remember one certain minister was indicating to say, no, soldiers are not trained to arrest the person. They don't wait for arresting. They will just to bully you, they will shoot you. And I think South Africa, at this point in time, so need to be very careful, particularly when you are not able to fight the crimes, when you are not able to contain the situation, when you have 60 people being killed per day, regardless of being an industrialized country in Africa, regardless of being a strong economy, regardless of being a global power player, especially when it comes to the 21st century. I think that is what is happening. And maybe it's also the question that you should also ask in Namibia to say, when you are speaking about crimes in Namibia, are we making some progress? Are the statistics on our side? Are we making some progress? I was listening to OTR yesterday, especially looking at the Minister of Home Affairs and Immigration speaking about statistics that are not suitable, especially looking at crimes, looking at murders, looking at rape cases. And you're also asking yourself a question to say, when you are increasing in number, are we also increasing, incapacitating our police officers and our system too? And also something to look into to say, do we also have motivated police officers also to fight crimes? Are we paying them well? Are we training them well? Or we just have police officers who are stealing goats for survival? Or do we have police officers who have morals? Or we have police officers who are easy to bribe? And you go through roadblocks, you'll be able to see some of the incidents that you can sense that people are easy to bribe. Not really because they want to be bribed, just because of condition and the situation. And you look at a person and you also ask yourself a question to say, when was the last time this person ate? And when he is offered a cool drink, and in the Namibian context, when a person is offered a cool drink, it's 200. And you find yourself, you find people losing their jobs just because of a 200. And the other time, my colleague Helmut was presenting a comedy show indicating to say, really, what is going on, especially with the law enforcement? Maybe it's also time to look into that aspect to say, for us to prevent a situation where it's far, where we are still small in number, why can't we capacitate them physically and financially too? Because the men and women in the uniform, they're actually the main protector of the economy. And they are actually the one that you need the most, especially if you want to thrive economically. Because if you have that strong system, if you have that strong financial system, if you have that strong law enforcement agency, then it's easy for you to upgrade your economy and also provide for the greater good of people within your state. And, you know, the world is mourning. The world is mourning a civil rights activist, a pastor, and the former ally of Martin Luther King Jr. That is Jesse Jackson. And we see presidents and prominent people, they are mourning one of the black American reverends, Jesse Jackson. And looking at the history of human rights or civil rights movements in the 1960s, particularly at the center of that Martin Luther King and The two prominent men were known. And a lot of people understood Jesse Jackson, particularly post the death of Martin Luther King Jr. But looking at his contribution and the role that he played, particularly when it's coming to civil rights movement and also the rights for black people, he was a guy who was standing with Martin Luther King. If you look closely, particularly the most famous speech of Martin Luther King, "I Have a Dream," you'll be able to understand that throughout those difficult times of fighting for the rights, not only for the black people, but also for the rights of human around the world, ending of slavery, the giving of equal opportunities. At the center of that was Reverend Jesse Jackson, and we've seen that different leaders have given their message of condolences, particularly when he died at the age of 84. And you can also be able to realize that even our president of Namibia, President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, has also gave a message of condolences, especially when it's coming to Reverend Jesse Jackson, who died at the age of 84. These were some of the tough men of their time. These are some of the men and some of the men who confronted not only apartheid, confronted racism, who confronted difficult systems hands-on. And these were the true activists. I'm not saying we don't have a true activist, but these were the true activists.
Eshi wataloka umekwembelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamono we uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaketi top score instant uyaita kufindano talishambula lokushuna kofikola mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano opone ngo mfindani wakamwe komo iPad aveli bahetatu obo tabaka findanwa ilo mano ka voucher ko ipumbi wa fikola yongushu ya dola e vili mwe dana mibia oshipu ne ngono landoka shako ko KG mwe ele KG dili mbali ko top score instant okujamo fitola ke Moshilongo ashiche ndeto SMS oshicha instant totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afanueli otali kulumo milongo na tunali mwe amarija mondoma eveja vaino milongo mbali na hamano emangono malandula fano odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Meals.
Morning of Jesse Jackson. Let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll look at the conversation for today. And remember, the Villager newspaper is out, and make sure that you do not miss out, particularly in terms of the content of, the Villager newspaper. And in the context of today's conversation, we'll be looking at the case study of Ivory Coast, and also looking at the numbers, and also to say who is controlling Ivory Coast economy, and what is the long-term impact of selling raw materials, and when you speak about value addition, do we have capacity, do we have programs in place, and what are we doing about it, and also lesson from other African countries also to learn, including Namibia, to say how come a country which is a main producer of cocoa depends on companies to determine the price that even them themselves know that without Ivory Coast they are not going anywhere, and also to say what progress has been done moving so far, and also to say what is the impact of value addition to the country's economy, particularly on the ground that an industry that has employed over a million the people, and also in an industry that is contributing over 15%, or that's contributing between 15 to 20% to the GDP of Ivory Coast, and also a lesson to learn from other African countries. It's also something that South Africa should learn, something that Namibia should learn, something that Zambia should learn, that we should not only celebrate trade infrastructure, but we must understand that within that trade infrastructure, what are we using? If we speak about using of or expanding trade roads through trains, ask yourself, maybe through railways, ask yourself, what are those trains going to carry? Are they still going to carry raw materials? Are they still going to carry coals? Are they still going to carry pure diamonds instead of finished products? And what does that mean to the country's development? And it's also a matter of shifting of mind to say, when you speak about value addition, when you speak about local beneficiation, what have we done also to move toward that goals of local beneficiation? And that is the conversation for today. Let's look at a short commercial break. Then you look at that context. We'll look at the number, look at the analysis, and we also look at the key players in the industry, and also what has been communicated, particularly in that side of Africa, and also to look into the context of South Africa, Namibia, and Zambia too, to say, apart from looking at other countries when they are going through challenges, what have you learned, and what can we do?
Lipura nengeno wapubwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshiwala onongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna emi toda njuka okukwetida oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nokumona oijamwili nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its staff.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6%, is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM. The Eye.
Yeah. The question has been asked to say, what is the long-term impact of selling raw materials? The results are very clear. The results are what you see. It's poverty, it's youth unemployment, it's inequality, it's lack of opportunities, and also, exploitations. Those are the result of long-term selling of raw materials, because what it is saying is that if you have been selling raw materials for over 20 years, you create comfortability, especially to those who you are selling into, and you brought a situation where those who you are selling into, they also have established a good relationship with you, so that they build their industries. Because Ivory Coast, being the largest producer of cocoa in the world, does not have biggest warehouse. The biggest warehouse of cocoa are in the US, in Germany, in Australia, and in many other countries. And you are asking yourself, why do they have big warehouses there? Because that is where real business is happening. That is where real business is happening. Just for context, in October, particularly before the elections of Alassane Ouattara, there was a peak in production of cocoa. And there was an interview done by BBC, where you have seen, where you have seen the farmers are saying, now we are going to sleep peacefully. Now we are going to sleep peacefully. And looking into that context, there was also a time where they reach a price of cocoa, or a farm gate price of 2,800 CFA francs. And there is a regulator actually in Ivory Coast that is making sure that farmers are compensated fairly. But currently, as we are speaking, there is a collapse in the price of cocoa globally. Then maybe you ask yourself a question to say, who caused this collapse in the price of cocoa globally? One must be able to understand that regardless of Ivory Coast being the highest producer of cocoa in the world, they spend a little, or they invest a little, in making final product. And also the question of who own the market of cocoa. The main economic players which are buying cocoa in Ivory Coast, you have chocolate producers, main chocolate producers, such as Cadbury, Hershey, Nestle, and they are getting these products through Euronext to sell. Now, one will also be able to ask yourself a question to say, where are all these main companies? Where are their headquarters? Majority of these companies are in Europe and in the United States of America. And the connector also is in Europe and the United States of America. The agency which is selling. Now you are asking yourself a question of, do you really have a point or a chance where Ivory Coast can be able to stand proud on its own and saying, this is our own product? There is no way. Because last year, even the Minister of Finance was saying, there is no way we are getting less if we are the main producer. Yes, you are the main producer, but you are not the controller of the price because you do not have final products. Chocolates that you see, that you eat every day, that you were enjoying during Valentine, maybe 80% of those chocolates, even maybe all of them that you are eating, they were made by the efforts and, extra work of the farmers in Ivory Coast. But the question that we are asking today is that why now farmers are panicking? Why now the country is also panicking when there's a change in the price of cocoa? Now, interestingly, the government of Ivory Coast have been trying to, buying from farmers just to make sure that they have means. But there is a point that they are also struggling. Then they are putting a standard to say we are only buying at this level, and it's up to farmers to accept or deny. Now the question that we should ask ourselves, a question is that now that we understand very well that we spoke more on value addition, Ivory Coast have done the same. Even last year when they were saying we need to control what we own. Because imagine 45% of the production, but the final product is done by other countries. How many people could have gotten those jobs? How many industries could have been built? Even building industries on its own, it's already creation of employment. And how many people could have gotten those jobs? And how many? And interestingly, ask yourself the question also of to say, are we really going to have these international companies fully operational, such as Cadbury, Hershey, and Nestle, without Ivory Coast? Then the question also is up to you to do your research and find out that how many people are employed by these companies in their own country, within their headquarters, how many executives, how many people working in factories, how many working in production. Then you're also looking now at the situation of Ivory Coast to say, on top of the 100, on top of the 1 million people employed within the cocoa industry, how many could have been created? How many jobs could have been created in the production of the production of final product from cocoa? Now, that will also bring us to the question of countries such as Zambia, South Africa, and Namibia. And also ask a question to say, Zambia is a country which got its independence in the 60s. And it's one of the few countries that, few African countries that got independence first during the government of KK, during the government of Kaunda. And Copper Belt, when you go to Mafurira province, Copper Belt has been central in production of copper to the world. But the question that somebody may be able to ask is that, to what level? To what level did they finally end the values to their copper? If you travel to Walvis Bay, you see these trucks, they are moving every day, they are moving, going to Walvis Bay, seaport to export to the world, or maybe some are going through the Robito Corridor. Then the question is that, why is the trend continue to be like this? Why are the Zambian people even went to the point of removing the moving presidents, hoping for changes to happen? Why are they still doing what they are doing? Is there somebody who is holding a gun on us, or is only us who do not see the need to change? Why do we speak so much about the value addition if up to now our mining only created 2% of the employment in all Namibians? Now, the question that we also should ask yourself is that let us not only look at mining and look at uranium, because we spoke more about uranium, but let's ask a question to say, if you are the third largest producer of uranium, which means that you are most needed country in the world, how many employment were created by things that we shipped out? Let's take out the employees of Rossing, the employees of Langa Henrich, the employees of Swakop Uranium, and the employees of many other mines. Let's take those, subtract those ones. Let's look at the end means of those products to say, how many of the jobs did we export outside? And are we regretting about that? And if you are not regretting, have we learned something about that? Then you can also speak about fish industry. Yes, we may have factories here and there, but how many jobs were created by that industry outside the country? Then how many jobs were created by our own diamond until to the point of, us being downgraded? How many jobs were created by our copper and gold? Because we have everything. And how many jobs are going to be created by lithium? Because how can we even understand lithium if we did not understand how to differentiate it when people were exploring but they were already mining? Because if we come to the point of asking ourselves that question, then we end up realizing to say, if we are not confronting a bully, if you are not confronting a criminal, why is it the neighbor's house? The next time we are going to see is in your sitting room. If you are not confronting that issue of going out of offices, confronting that issue of staying out of offices by going out of offices and create real industries. Because the beauty of value addition is that it should not just come now. It should be a long term. It should not be a point to be proven. Because one thing that should be very clear is that something that is done to prove a point is not a genuine thing. But if something is done for a long term, let me say, if we are trying now to prove a point to say we are going to produce oil by next year so that people can see, we are not honest with ourselves. But if we have established good institutions and infrastructures that can have those oil, purify them in Namibia, refined, maybe finalized, then that is a real business and it's long term. Good morning.
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
Fine.
Mm.
Yeah, so the lecture was so long.
Yeah.
I think this is the time that learners or students can come in.
I
usually ask my professors and all those things.
Yeah.
Because me, I'm one of the slow learners.
No, I want to ask you a question. You said you studied the development studies, ne? What is your area?
Yeah, most of my areas were development studies.
Uh-huh.
And especially when it comes to economic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not economic, but community development.
Mm-hmm.
So that, me have have little bit of diverse kind of learning.
No, you are like our dream economic model of diversification.
Yeah, so that's why I'm so in love with some of those words.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to community income generating activity. So especially informal economy has become one of my interests. Because, I did the adult non-formal education.
Mm-hmm.
Non-formal education. So that area is not well understood by many people.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to informal economy or formal economy or whatever you talk about, the only thing that you do not know much is about the law.
Mm-hmm.
So the application of the law and the application and all these other issues.
Yeah.
whether it comes now to the customer law. That's why the other time when you were having a conversation with Angola, talking about all those areas. So we actually, I was much concerned, and there are a lot of queries that we wanted to pose. Because in the same way, the same day when you talked about, we were talking about the reports, informal and things like that.
So
this is the area, actually. It's not that I am good in that one, but I did that. I also did gender. You know, when you are doing adult education, the gender modules are there. So it's one of my areas.
So you're an expert in gender-related issues?
Not that I'm an expert, but I have got the knowledge because I've studied. I even did it at the postgraduate level.
Oh, that's good.
So at least, and I was privileged to say to a lot of people. That's why when they talk about the law, gender, from a gender perspective, they always tell me, why even those big companies? At one point, they went with my colleague to the non-power. No, for us, when it comes to gender, we are technical. We are technical.
Yeah.
And then you can see the blind spot. When it's the need for us to reform our law, to amend the laws so that they respond and address the needs of our people.
Okay, maybe just before you contribute, when we are at gender, do you prefer gender or you prefer competency? Is it wrong if I just have all women in my company, I employed them because they are effective, or I just have 20 women and one man because they are effective, or I just need to make sure that I have 50-50 because that is what the law is saying? Where do we draw that line? Because there's always a debate to say, is it just balance or competency first? Which one is which?
Yeah, I think those things, if you have got your qualification, then you have
I
I'm coming to answer your question.
Yeah.
Because you are more concerned of effective and efficient and all that issue.
Yeah.
So now when you have the women,
yeah,
they are competent.
When you have the competent, do you also have the one which are incompetent?
Yeah, you might have somebody might have maybe the same qualification.
Yeah.
Same process and things like that.
Yeah.
But there are those who might want to learn to go an extra mile and have some kind of exposures.
Yeah.
So to become competent, you need to be, you know, somehow oriented within your division where you are working until you become competent. Some people, they are not competent, but because of the introduction of the tools, you know, this AI and things like that, you know, the issue of e-learning and all these things. So somebody might become very competent.
Yeah.
When you are doing things and repeating and you are being coached, mentors and things like that, you can become competent.
You know why I'm asking this question, eh? You know, Namibia, we became the face of the world, especially when it comes to our parliament, where we reach 50-50. In that aspect, now analysts are also asking the question, is that okay, that is a good thing, but what is the quality of the what is the quality of debate that has been improved? Was there an improvement, or it was just a formula used? Was there any improvement in the quality of debate? Are our women also representing themselves in parliament? Even if you look at the debate, the current debate, where are they? Where are they in issues of gender-based violence, in issues of development?
The Honorable,
where are they?
Of the Honorable, you are asking the same question that the gender, one of the Honorable member of Parliament. She's so good in gender issue. And whenever we are there, I'm talking about those years, you know, when she said, so women should not be wheelchairs. into position. That's what he says. I'm just afraid. So you cannot just be pushing there because of the gender balance. And the people are going beyond. There is no longer gender equality. Gender equality and equity is the most important thing. So now you now look at, you see, they are not contributing.
Yeah, they are not contributing,
If they are not contributing, it's perhaps that they do not understand the subject matter. Or is it because they just want to be complacent with the situation? No, because there are also the people sometimes see the contradiction. People may not want to be contradicted and things like that. All this kind of, I don't know the reason. I haven't been... I do watch parliament, and things like that. See?
Yeah, but are you satisfied with the level with the debate?
No. If you are saying so, then we just need to improve maybe and see how. Why is it not that they are not coming? Are they wheelchairs there? Is it because they don't have interest? But they should be because they are representing. The adults here, not only women, especially the boy child, and it's women who are most of the time with the children, and we are seeing that even if you look at those areas, I see the commander Nandindetwa, the first gentleman was talking about the boy child, and that issue. And that issue is a very burning issue. And many a times, the contributing factors you go and these things, when you look at the form of gender-based violence sometimes, they are saying the absence of fathers and the fathers are not there. It's true in terms of socialization process. So they let them contribute. So they are definitely competent. Maybe just an encouragement that need to be, so that they can take up issues. Go ask them questions. Why can't you approach them and say, you, Madam Boss, you are representing this thing, this, this. So why are you not contributing? Why is the debate, are these issues not relevant to your profession? So I remember there was a time also the late Hagigin Kop also asked them their qualification, their credential, just to submit so that you can go out.
Hold on.
Great news! Impa just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impa? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Impa has to offer at an unbeatable price. Impa, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Hello, Namibia. The NSA is conducting the Household Income and Expenditure Main Survey from the 28th of April 2025 to the 22nd of April 2026. Our officials in NSA uniforms, IDs, and branded vehicles will visit selected households in all 14 regions. Hashtag, your data matters.
In conclusion...
Yeah, in conclusion, what we are saying is that for me, I just wanted to talk about the people not talking with one voice.
Which
and
people?
I think this is what I'm hearing, that yes, as Africa, so Africa must speak with one voice. And this is what the message we are getting also in terms of whether you have the raw material, you have this other one and things like that. We all want to address this social iniquity. So I don't know whether our brothers in the UK, in America, because the first thing that they saw, some statement is that no, Trump is rejecting the social inclusion. All those sustainability, equality.
But
so I think we are getting there, I'm sure.
You,
okay. So, no, those are the things that I wanted to say. So the other issue, please, when you have this discussion, for example, now, the one you had with the report of Bank of Namibia, we were told how our entry points, all the institutions were actually, and we are still having the representative who was also there for the one who is representing the informal economy.
But
you
know,
why are we not seeing those things that because we know some of those bylaws?
But you know what, Tane? Mm. After what I wanted to see and maybe what need to be done is that when we speak on value addition, when we speak on local economy, when we speak on informal economy, we may speak about that at the hotel. But
rural economy. So when you say local is fine. Say also you must also use words, concept like rural community.
It's the same. But are we even supporting that? Even if we were representative, after that, the food that we went and eat is not the food that is coming from that sector. Maybe we're supposed to have Kapana after that. Maybe to relate.
Yes.
Or maybe we're supposed to have Magungu and others to relate, or maybe other tradition, or donkey meat.
Not in all the meetings, let me say
if a minister of tourism, just for example, is speaking about attracting of tourists and all these things, she and the colleagues were supposed to wear locally made clothes, the best one in the maybe they support that at that platform. Even if they are not wearing all those things, at least to show. At least local content. You find somebody speaking about the local content is wearing Louis Vuitton, and you're asking yourself a question to say, when are we going to move from that aspect? And I was actually very happy with Mr. Weiss Emmanuel, what he has done, really. It should be commented. He did something that was never done in many years. Since 1990, I think it's a wise guy.
you see those days. Whenever they have public lectures and things like that, we go there because we meet those young ones, the wise.
No, wise has always been present, and I saw him at UNAM.
There are a lot of them who have got that those kind of competence.
Let's go back to Cass.
So now what you are saying is a different, is something, and it's a good thing. I'm saying that not in all the meetings. If it had to be happening in all the meetings, because you all eat on Maungu, you all eat on Katana, if you negotiate, they say, please, most of our delegates that are coming, tourists and things like that, so they don't come to our market.
And
now speak and be like, that is the person who is informal as a representative. He might not do some of these things. He can delegate. For us, we need to question them and say, now, is these things we were told, even that they were, the governor now says there that if these things was last year, yourself would have repeated it. This year is the implementation. We now want to see in these things here. Where are we going to formalize these things? Where are we going to make sure that we redirect
our
activity?
Indeed.
To a Kapana, a single quota, and things like that. People might not say, they would like
And they should be formalized. It should be done real. You know, we cannot speak about African Continental Free Trade Area, for example. And we are wearing, I'm not saying we should not support international companies. And we are wearing, everything is from Singapore and the U.S., but you are saying Africa Continental Free Trade, and I like our Minister for Trade. In most cases, she's always wearing African clothes, which is quite a very good thing. I'm not saying everybody should wear them, but that should be the culture to say. If you speak about
the Prime Minister said that let's consume our local produce.
You cannot advocate about.
Are they not following also that principle?
No, we must see transformation. But thank you for your contribution.
But let's now reform where is necessary.
Yeah.
So we cannot just say why are they not there? Are they approach for accountability?
that yes, everybody institution was given that task and has the task to do some step to, you know, in that. So what are you doing?
All right, thank you.
You guys, you are the best people to reach them.
Yeah, we are reaching them already like this, but we are going to take that up. Yeah.
Sorry for taking too long. You know, it was perhaps necessary. I don't know.
No worries. It's a conversation.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much, Dave.
All right. Yeah, we are moving forward. We speak about value addition, but it's really something that we must talk about to say. You know, when the president of Ghana visited Zambia, he was wearing what they call fugu. It's their traditional shirt. And the social media was so hyper and people started wearing that. But imagine, just for an example, something that does not have any quality. Then Obama just wear it. How many Africans are trying to imitate it? Because a leader has influence and has also power. Even the public image. But if we are really speaking about promoting local, let's go directly there. Let's show them that we can also do that. Because other people also want to come and see. They want to understand what is that thing called Kapana in Namibia or Chisanyama or any other. What is that thing called Katepira or Mawungu in Namibia? How do they cook it? And how do we add value to... I think we spoke about this to say, how do we add value to Onjinja, to Otombo, instead of, and compete with Hennessy and Jameson? And some of these drinks, they started, they have hundreds of years. Why can't we upgrade our own? But that's a conversation of another day. Today we speak about value addition. We speak about, the long-term impact of, selling raw materials. Because the results are very clear. If we have to be frank enough, is to say the long-term impact of selling raw materials are the problems that we see now in our country. Because what could have been the case is that had we understood very well, had we added value to all the products that were coming from green schemes, had we took green schemes seriously as they were established by our founding president, we could have been producing our own tomato sauce, our own butter, our own peanut butter. We package them and we sell them at an international market. Our own honey, we package them and we sell them at an international market, not at a smaller portion. We could have been not only cutting diamonds, but producing jewelries by now. Could have not been only, selling... uranium, but at least not only packaging them, but final products, and also making sure that we have our own electricity, because the long-term impact of raw materials is also downgrading. When we were told by economists from 2005 there to say diamond is a very important commodity in the world, but there will be a time. Go and look at the history of diamonds in Namibia, and it will be a regrettable regret if we reach 2063 without adding value to our products, because the statistic will also now haunt us to say, man, we have sold this amount of diamond. And if we have to put on the scale of trade to say one diamond can bring about maybe 100 products, and this is what life could have been. And that is a regret of an old person without memories, or with only memories of failing to take actions. But where are we starting? So, the long-term impact of value addition, the long-term impact of not adding values to a product is downgrading. Now, maybe we are downgraded. And when we are downgraded by a World Bank, people may say we are not shocked, but we are shocked. There is nobody who wants to be in the class of failures. And the change to that is a positive impact of, the change to that is the positive side of the situation. When you have statistically predicted around 15,000 educated teachers who are not able to find jobs in Namibia. That's a long-term impact of not ending values to the products. You may ask a question, but when people are advising each other to say it's only through education we will be able to get jobs because other industries are not, they are not expanding. Because we are only using the strategy of pit to pot, which has really failed us. Maybe it's a question when we are going to petroleum industry, most debated bill, even on the first day, which is really good to say the debate should continue and should find a suitable results. So people must debate that bill, and I want it to be debated thoroughly too. And I'm not saying it should be rejected, but maybe people should add content to it so that it will protect us and it will also change our economy. Because when you see what other countries have done, if Singapore only used tourism to change, to turn around the whole thing, and as with everything, why can't we even just pick two industries to turn around everything? Because looking at the youth and their situations, you'll be able to see that by April, universities are still going to, people are still going to graduate, and the burden is still going to be tough. And listening to essay, to South Africa, debate, particularly the SONA debate. I know there's one, madam from MK was speaking to Cyril Ramaphosa to say your decades, or the decades of your leadership is 10 years of misery. But one thing that, I started understanding is that I was shocked when they are speaking about their statistics. They are speaking about, no, your unemployment even failed to come below 30%. Then I ask, oh my God, they are even speaking about 30%. Where are we as a country? It's Namibia. Because them below 30% is even an issue. So let's come back shortly and continue.
Esira shisho, yotari kukwathere opovoro kara uasira ya kweni ochisho. Watuchitha na basic mental health first aid course. Haiganjua oshari chamhongi kwa mboka ili iyo, iyo NHP. Watapewa unongo nonseo na hene una okutongorora omadidiriko ugo petameko igena cha nupiakadhi nenge omathidakano opama viraviro kuchane omokatiko kumekoe nenge anironga pamwe nangoe osho otopewa unongo kene una okuya kwa sena nukuya pa ea bidhido yiri mwanjira omanga upya kadiboka inauru darara kuyerere o unji na hene unokara uishangitha tarira po epanja yao yo nhp.com.na e hangona maradura sano ododina okurandurwa NHP rooted in care for you,
your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
And the debate in South Africa, SONA, is to say, no, Ramaphosa, you did not even the unemployment is not even below 30%, but they are around 31 there. Then I'm asking myself a question to say, if South Africa with over 50 million people is having this debate about Namibia with not even 4 million people, what they are debating, we are not even closer there. Then it's a very serious situation. It's a very serious situation, and we need to act professionally and also differently compared to how it has been. And in that aspect, it's only value addition. And the question is also to say, are those who are producing, especially at a small scale, given capacity? Others who are producing given capacity to do that. And, who is going to be challenged when domestic businesses start adding value to their products, who's going to be challenged? Ask yourself that question. And if you speak about really free trade area, how easy it's going to be for Namibia, and which Namibian businesses are going to win in that trade, in free trade area? Because unprepared businesses are not going to survive the free market. Because what we are doing is IMF have done during structure adjustment program. It's only that one was coming from the West, where multinational cooperation are competing with infant businesses. It's still going to be the same, because Africa continental free trade area can only be effective if we also add values. And I'm still recommending people to go and listen to the mining in Damba, in South Africa, especially when this aspect was brought on the table to say, the world should not continue to play with us. We must speak with one voice, and we must enter trade agreements at real mutual beneficial relations, not how it has been. Because if everyone is your friend, everybody is assisting you, but you are not growing. But yeah, that is the conversation. And after a short commercial break, we'll look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. And stay tuned, because it's not only about content of economics, it's also about opportunities. It's also about academic advancement. You find universities, you find institutions that are offering various qualifications. And we are saying, no matter the situation on the jungle, education should never be abandoned. People should never be disencouraged to go to schools. And university should be the center of knowledge transfer, and also with the reason of economic expansion. So let us look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to look at what is in the Villager newspaper for today. And we are always advising you to read and also download an app, so that you not miss out.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona Oija mwiri nawa, ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bari heari nola natu heari bari no heari ile kumberewa nora hetatu natu bari o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the early bird catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombeye, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM,
the eye. Yeah, it's 38 minutes, but they are 7, and we are here until 8 in the morning, when we'll be giving the mic to the big mic to unpack the day. You know, I was looking at, the new face of African Union head of state and government, and you can really see that compared to the picture of the past in the past 10 years or so, or 20 years, you can really see that there is a transformation. There is a transformation in terms of leadership. You see a lot of new faces. And also few that remain. But you'll be able to see that there is a lot of fresh and new faces. You can see our president. You can also be able to see transformation in Angola there. You see in DRC. See in any other countries. And you see in Botswana. And we can also be able to see that, there are new faces. And it's also telling you, is that you are growing old, because not in a bad way. It's only showing that you are growing, because if you live to see the transformation of the picture of the old founders of OAU, then you can also see the picture of the founders or the transformer of OAU to AU during that time of Thabo Mbeki and others, the time of that the SEM, the KK them, and the Mugabe. You'd see a different picture compared to 2026, the picture of AU head of state. Then you see there is a transformation. But that transformation should also tell you a lot to say. Does that transformation, even in terms of leadership too, able to reflect the transformation of these countries, to say times have come to an end, different leadership have come to an end with different intentions, and were there any changes, or things continue to be the same? And looking into that context, let us see the 18th of February 2026, what is on top of the page of the Villager newspaper, and also what is inside. It stated that fish farmers face feed shortage. The governor urged local alternatives, and that is the governor of Kavango East. The governor of Kavango East, that is Mr. Julius Hambuka, says fish farmers in the region are faced with daunting challenges due to shortage of fish feed, which mostly source from outside the country. It's an opportunity again. It's also an opportunity to get into. When we have problems, we always look outside. And it's also one of the articles that you should read, especially from my colleague Anna Krita Ikela. And also ask a question to say, what can we get into? There are situations where we have a lot of challenges, even in agriculture sector. Then we also speak about
looking outside. Then the question is, how can we get in? Can we, as Namibians, a country that is also known for fishing for also a very long time, either riverside or seaside, have we thought of entering into that market too? Or the market is dominated by other people from the outside, even fishing feed? Read the content and get the information. Looking at page 3, there is an application which is open to Velvicia University campuses in Katima Moriro, in Kurenkuru, and in Venduk. And the application fee is 230. The deadline is 28 February 2026. Registration deadline 2. It's also 28 February 2026. Apply, become a midwife nurse. Midwife nurse, become an aquacha. Become certified. Have a certificate in enrolled nursing. Midwife or aquacha. And admission requirement. NSS. CO, that is ordinary, and also advanced subsidiary or equivalent, with a minimum of 27 points in 6 subjects, with a D cyber in English, or NSCO H, that is a level, or NSCO H or equivalent, with 22 points in 6 subjects, with a minimum E-Cyber in English, then applicants should have passed any 2 of the following subjects: biology, chemistry, physics, mathematics, and development studies. And for more information, look at the www.wu.edu.na and get an opportunity. Look at page 3 of the Villager newspaper. Then you can be able to get that certificate, become that nurse that is helping the community and also helping patients in hospitals, either private or also state hospitals, and be the contributor to the strength of Namibia health system, and make Mme Ruvidaus or Dr. Ruvidaus work easy, especially trying to fix the Namibian health system. And we need the professional, qualified nurses who know what is expected from them. And look at the repo rate. There is a repo rate announcement today. The economists are predicting repo rates to remain. The scale of repo rates indicating that repo rate will remain at 6.50%. Let's wait and see if economists are going to be in line with what they have predicted, and also see if there will be some changes, particularly when the central bank, bank which is charged with the responsibility of maintaining, protecting Namibian economy, and also regulating commercial banks, how it's going to announce its repo rate. And there's a new sheriff in town, and we see what differences are going to happen within the central bank moving forward toward 2026. And looking at page 5, there's an article on UNSG, United Nations Secretary General, says Africa remain a priority. And understand that Antonio Guterres, who is going on retirement in December, has been one of the Secretary Generals of United Nations, who went through a lot and through challenges, particularly with Africa. Speaking about Africa getting a chair or a seat in the Security Council, speaking about other issues to be addressed, there is a long way to go. Good morning. Hello?
David, 1 minute.
Yes?
People are not calling, so it's conversation.
Yeah, no worries. They are listening.
So now, yesterday, there were also different economists were interviewed about their expectation, how their views on the repo rate rates. It was also expanded in Oshiwamba language, and I was also looking at the news. NBC people are talking, interviewed economists were there. So now, and now that yes, we're also talking about our rent page to South Africa and things like that. And most of the expectation was that it will remain like that. But the concern that I always have is with the restructuring of the loan system with this commercial bank. So many a times they don't really restructure. Whenever the interest goes down, of course, you know, it's only the consumer who will pay less. But then, in terms of restructuring and really negotiate the terms and conditions of those loans that they give,
they're still the same.
For building or whatever. So we always have a serious problem. It appears if, even if, you know, you can now see that even the petrol has gone down. But you still see that the taxes and things like that. That's why I'm saying some of those fixed kind of prices. So they should also be renegotiated, because the reason why you want those multinational companies, those big ones, and to be reformed. So the, this loan restructuring is one of the declarations that came in there, those, you know, G20. But ourselves here, our commercial bank and things like that, they need to make sure that they restructure so that they can also now assist people who may want to do some kind to bring the rural economic development. So infrastructures is number one. We are told, we know green hydrogen is coming, storage and all these things. Why can't they be funded with some kind of terms and conditions that is more favorable to those clients? Thank you very much, David. So maybe, like I said, the policy intervention there is one of your tasks. The governor said in that report, and there are a lot of the, everybody has got a part to play in that, all the institution anyway. So they should just have that report at their desk and start having the conversation in their bedroom.
Which report? The informality? Which one?
The informality, yes.
No, I know you like it. You reference it, I think, 20 times.
Because it's the backbone of the economy.
Yeah, it's a backbone of the economy. But did we just see that now, or we knew?
We knew. We have been talking about that one. We have been writing about that one. The mentor, who is this one, that is the one who always writes columns there. We have been talking about it. It has been part of our tradition. So it's not that something that is coming now. So we are only being pushed up because they have formalized it. Who do you think is pushing people around there in this street of Windhoek here?
Yeah.
It's because of the law that even came long time ago. I don't know whether it's 1957, that bylaw. That's why Tate Sankwasa, even today I was listening, and he's so serious about these things, because this is the thing, and these are the people. The problem, the reason why we have problem in Windhoek now, it's not because people are migrated there. I can do the reverse of the urban, rural, center, rural development approach. Urban, rural. So they should assist there.
All right.
Cool.
Okay. Yeah, it's 51 minutes past the hour of 7. You are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. We are proceeding with what is in the Villager newspaper for today. Apart from Antonio Guterres, the Secretary General of United Nations, who is going on not on retirement, his second term is coming to an end. He has been there for almost 10 years now. And I indicated that even if he's going, it's not a retirement. The agenda of Africa being at the United Nations Security Council is non-negotiable. The funding of Africa, especially when it's coming to climate damage, is non-negotiable. And also look at the ongoing conflict. And, the best thing to do is to address issues of peace and security. And he stated that Africa still has a huge potential. But the beauty of thing is that, when you look at what the leaders are discussing about, what leaders from other part of the world are discussing about, they are speaking more on African youth. To see Africa have a young population, and they do not have that. Africa have a young population, and they are speaking about potential. The question maybe that we should also ask is that when they speak about young population and potential in Africa, what are we doing to make sure that we capitalize on that sector of young potential? Are we giving our young people opportunities? And I must admit that I was actually quite happy to read around and also see that various sectors are giving internships to students. And that was not the case of our case, especially during our graduation, which is not that long ago. But you can really see to say, this can mean something to people, particularly entry to certain industries. To say, internship should not only be done this term, but should be continuation. Because if that continue, and maybe also an approach not only to put down the fire, but also for sustainability, to say when people are getting internship, at least they get to know how industries are working, at least they get to connect a network. Because I guess you have to complete university. You can pass very well, but you also need to find internship on your own or training on your own. But let's see that maybe in Namibia we are getting there. But the question always to say, even if you are getting there, at what pace? Because if the service is outnumbered by the numbers of people, even if you are doing something great, it will not be seen. If you are giving a best meal to 20 people, but you have 200 people who are dying of hunger, people are still not able to see that. So there must be acceleration in terms of that aspect. So let us look at, again, continuation. Apart from the AU and SG, who is showing optimism in Africa and prioritization of Africa, okay, there's also an article at page 6 that look at the global cocoa price declining, which is a challenge to Ivory Coast farmers. Then on page 7, you have cybercrime bill in the pipeline for Namibia. That's an article by Dwight Links. And the cybercrime bill, is it going to pass the test of parliament, or is it going to be stuck like all other bills which are stuck? Because if you speak about bills in Namibia, it's like they do not exist anymore, apart from budget bills. Maybe it will be the first one to go through, but let's hope it's going through, because cybersecurity continue becoming a challenge. There's an opinionated article by Joseph Shehama. It's an independent researcher and economist, and there is an opinionated article looking at Namibia 2026 New Horizon through Strategic Diversification. It's a strong, powerful content that you can be able to read through and make sure that you get the perspective, the opinions of experts, because when experts are speaking, we must be able to listen. When experts are talking, we must be able to listen, pay attention, so that we may not be able to repeat the same mistakes that we have done. Because if we speak about value addition, if we speak about economic diversification, that strategy has worked in other countries. If you look at South Africa, that South Africa has worse, but has worse things happening there. But they know they have a game plan. They know where they are going. The way they have navigated the changes that could have collapsed the economy, particularly
looking at the eastern part of the world and the way they are playing now in terms of economic diversification, then you understand that they are going on the right track. Maybe it's also a lesson to learn. When people are doing benchmarking, South Africa should still be priority number one in terms of learning, because that is one of the good case study to look at, especially when you look at economic diversification and what economists have been saying. And also maybe to look at academics also, to say academics are a bit far from decision making. Academics are also a bit far from power. But if we have real academics who can advise leaders, real academics who can provide fast, accurate and needed data, then it's easier for the country to go through its challenges. If you have academic lawyers who understand very well that the complication in terms of the law does not only be used for loopholes, for advantages of some people, but can also delay development. If you have those revolutionary lawyers who understand how to reform a legal framework to accelerate development, then we are not going to suffer like what we are suffering, and we are not going to have standing bills like, you know, we did last year. So, dear listeners, this will bring us to the end of our conversation at Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we'll leave you in the good hands of Uncle Mike, the Big Mike, to unpack the day. And take care of yourself, focus on the game, and prioritize progress over gossip, prioritize growth over negativity, over stagnation. And stay tuned with Unpacking the Day. And you're always very happy, particularly when you choose Eagle FM Namibia. And also follow us on all our social media platforms. Bye-bye for now. See you around. And sharp.